verse 23. Revelation 18, 1 through 4, verse 23. Keep the bass resonance in it, please. I don't have to push so hard. Thank you. Revelation, thank you, 18, 1 through 4. The young lady read, "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, What church? And it's falling." And then look at this list. Of negative activity. Reading, and has become, everybody, of demons. Read on, a prison of every foul spirit and a cage. Then in verse 3, it talks about the fact that its deceptive teachings, like wine, have been drunk by the merchants of the earth and by the kings of the earth. But you will note that after being declared as fallen, the first accusation against Babylon is what? Has become a dwelling place of demons. Talk to me. What?
Demons.
Demons. Demons? And then in verse 23, as you get down to the ultimate statement of the fall, we read, "The light of a lamp," everybody, "shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by..." Too fast. "For by your sorcery, demons, sorcery, a part of Babylon. Let's pray. We'll need your help now, Lord. Amen. Demons, sorcery. Now, we've already established, you need to be listening. We've already established in our progression through the book of Revelation and into chapter 18, and I was just whispering to Pastor Cheatham, between us pastors who preach, we've gotten 7 sermons just out of Revelation 18. It's a pregnant chapter. But we've established as we've gone along that this term Babylon is symbolic. We know that because the prediction here is of a future Babylon falling, but the real Babylon was destroyed way back in the 6th century B.C. Remember I made that point? So because of that, we know that this prophetic statement about the fall of Babylon must be symbolic. Babylon must be something symbolic because real Babylon has already gone, been gone for centuries. Then we went on to find out that the Babylon of chapter 18 is connected to the harlot of chapter 17, which is connected to the beast of chapter 13, which is connected to the dragon of chapter 12. And the dragon is the devil. So it means that the devil is behind the beast of chapter 13 and is behind the woman of chapter 17 and therefore is behind the Babylon of chapter 18. So we're really talking about here a false system of religion pushed by Satan to the point that this religion opens the door for demons and sorcery and deception. Is anybody listening? I don't want to be the only one upset here. I'm upset that Satan, according to these prophetic utterances, Satan seems to have moved in to religion. And now bears forth with great influence. Now, there was a statement that I read last week to set up where I'm going. Let's read that same statement again here. A long statement. God bless you. Nope, the one before. The long one. That's at the end, the one before, the long one. It begins with, this scripture points forward to a time. Now we got folk praying. We already knew the devil would mess with this sermon. But I want the statement. It starts with, this scripture points to a forward time. There we go. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Now you're going to get this whole sermon today. Amen. You got plans, slip out quietly. Don't disturb anybody. You're going to get this whole sermon.
Amen.
Let's read this scripture that's talking about the Revelation 18 scripture. Read, this scripture points forward to a time when the announcement of the fall of Babylon, as made by the second angel of Revelation 14, verse 8, is to be repeated with the additional mention of the corruptions which have been entering the various organizations that constitute Babylon. Babylon is a religious system. Not just one church, it's a religious system. It is a system, listen to me, it's a system that harbors any falseness. Any kind of falseness in any church, in any life, is Babylon. The word means confusion. It is the work and the purpose of Satan to confuse people about the Bible. Now I'm upset. Y'all too calm for me. I'm upset. I don't want anybody messing with God's word. This is the way to life. Tell it like it is or shut up. So we have here a system and various organizations, keep reading, since the message was first given in the summer of 1844. Next part. A terrible condition of the religious world is here described. With every rejection of truth, watch it now, the minds of the people will become darker, their hearts more stubborn. And we talked about this. I tried to talk to you about it in love and patience. I didn't shout it. I didn't holler. I told you of the danger of not taking God's word seriously. And I said to you that every time there's something in God's word that you know is right and you don't do it, you're falling into Babylonian kinds of lifestyles or confused lifestyles. Well, now you know to do right and do wrong. That's confusion. Isn't it confusion? All right, I'll say it another way. You'll understand this. To know right and do wrong is stupid. You got that word? So God gives us good sense. We won't use it. And the Bible, thy word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my pathway. The Bible is to give you guidance and light and direction. And to have light and walk in darkness does not make any sense. Let's finish the statement. Reading, in defiance of the warnings which God has given, they will continue to trample upon one of the precepts of the Decalogue. Now, we preached on that last week. That's the Sabbath. We got that straight last week. But This statement says something else will happen. Read on. Until they are led to persecute those who hold it sacred. Read on. Go on, go on. Next part. There's another part. Christ, come on, is set at naught in the contempt placed upon his word and his people as the teachings are accepted by what? Now, in a few minutes, choir, we're going to define spiritualism. Because you're going to find out that more of you are spiritualists than you think. See, two major crimes, Pastor Mike, are committed by Babylon. First, stepping on God's law, stepping on God's word. Second, spiritualism. Now, we read it. I set you up for it. Babylon, Tyro's accused of having, what's the first thing that they did wrong? They had demons. And the last verse said they had sorcery. Are accepting the churches, finish it. The restraint imposed upon the carnal heart is removed. And the profession of religion. So because of spiritualism in the church, Rodney, people will start using religion as a cloak to cover base sins. So what used to be right in the church will now become acceptable in the church. And what is wrong in the church and then becomes right in the church, contrary to God's word, is a manifestation of demonism or spiritualism in the church. Well, in order for you to accept that, I need to establish what spiritualism is. First of all, in Revelation 16, 13, and 14, now, I use the Bible a lot. If you're visiting our church for the first time, you don't have a Bible, if someone is sitting next to you with a Bible, just nudge them in the ribs. The Bible falls over where you can see it. Everybody in this church must see the word. Revelation 16, 13 and 14. Now, this text is something. It's describing the sixth plague of the seven. I saw three unclean what?
Spirits.
Like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. Who's the dragon? And of the beast, that's the power in Revelation 13, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they, verse 14, I need everybody reading verse 14, for they are the spirits of demons, doing what? Which go out to the, now note, Sister Merchant, remember when we read in Revelation 18, it said that this Babylon goes out to the merchants. It's talking about the same experience. They go to the merchants and do what? To gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now, these demons, Yannick, they perform miracles.
Yes. Yes.
Now, powers that can perform miracles must be supernatural powers. Are you with me? Well, where did these supernatural powers come from? Revelation 12. Are you interested? I'm going to tell you anyhow. Revelation 12. Look. Oh, my Lord. And war broke out in heaven. I'm in verse 7. I can't wait on you. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. Who's the dragon? And the dragon and his. Oh! Satan has angels. He did not come here by himself. Let me read it. And they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Where did they show up? So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole earth. He was cast out and were cast out with him. Where'd they go? Oh, my Lord. Look at verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens. I hate that. And you who dwell on the earth, dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. My Lord. Happy, happy, happy up there. But down here. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For who's come down? Having what? So here it is, Marley. Here it is, Marley. When the devil got kicked out, he brought down here with him his angels, who are now called demons. And we now already read that Babylon's first sin is hobnobbing with demons. And we also found out in verse 23, Revelation 18, that Babylon is involved in sorcery. Sorcery in a religious system. See, no wonder the Bible gives you hope, choir. We'll give the choir some hope. That in Matthew 18:10, Jesus says that all of God's people have an angel assigned to them. Y'all way too calm for me. Want the choir to get this blessing. So because of that, choir, even though we have evil demons down here, God has got an angel from heaven right by your side. Don't mess with me. Don't get my, I've named my angels. His name is Saldanius. I named him years ago. Don't mess with me. Saldanius will get you. He protects me. So for the devil to mess with me, Avondale, he got to get permission because Saldanius is right beside me. Hey! I'll celebrate all by myself. Hallelujah! Because, Carl, we have these demons here. The devil brought a bunch of demons, and they are insane. They're insane. So here they are. Well, the devil has one special deception. Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 5. He tempted Adam and Eve. Remember that? Yes. Offered them the fruit. Yes. And folks, stop saying it was an apple. Just, you know, people try to add to the Bible. Amen. Ain't no apple in Genesis 3. Ain't never been no apple there. We have, and every time I hear, I just want to throw my Bible at somebody. It ain't no apple. All right, I got that out of my system. It's fruit. Yes. I don't know what kind of fruit it is. Did that do you good? She's so happy. God bless you, sister. Now, he offers them the fruit. They bite into it. After having talked her into it, then he says to her, for God knows, verse 5, that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open. You should be as gods, knowing good and evil. See that? But verse 4, he sets her up. For God doth know. I'm sorry, verse 4. Then the serpent said to her, because the woman said, we eat it, we're going to die. You shall not what? Satan's first deception was about the nature of death. You will not surely die. Webster's definition of spiritualism: the belief that the dead survive as spirits which can communicate with living with the help of a third party, a medium. Webster's definition of spiritualism: any practice arising from that belief, the philosophical doctrine that life is in essence spiritual. So spiritualism is the teaching that the dead don't really die. Now, it opened the door for Satan to impersonate. Because people are seeing something. Don't y'all sit there all calm. There are people, Robert, who are seeing something. But now, because I have a Bible, hey, I know what they're seeing. demons, come on somebody, in human form. Because the Bible tells me, Rodney Cartwright, these demons, these devils can perform what? Miracles. So the way to stay away from that stuff is not to go where the devil is. Are you following me so far? Now, after this lie was told in Genesis, it spread. See, there are many people, Frank, who believe, and they're good Christian people. You hear it on the TV all the time. Some star dies or some athlete dies, and they celebrate his death, and what do they say? He's looking down on us. Don't they say it? And they're sincere, they mean it. They mean, and I've never been able to understand the joy in that. Because if those folks are up there looking down at the mess down here, how does heaven turn out to be a happy place? And I'm a very practical thinking person. If I died here, and I will at some point, and went up there, and some Negro marries my wife, heaven is not going to be a happy place. Somebody going to have to hold me at the throne of glory. Because I'm making a visit down here. Come on, somebody. Let's just tell it like it is. Got that out of my system. So when I go to sleep, I want to be asleep. If she marries again, fine. I don't want to know anything about it. Bring him up to me in glory when I'm truly saved. I'll shake his hand. Otherwise, we got problems in glory. All right. So there's this belief. And people buy into it, did too? Looking down, your mother's sick, you're looking down. Your son is in jail, you're looking down. And then they talk about they're praising God in heaven. Well, I got a text for you on that in just a minute. So this thing spread, and it spread so bad, Deuteronomy 18, you need to mark this text in your Bible, by the way. You need to circle this text in your Bible. Deuteronomy 18. I'm trying to speed up, but y'all got me up late today. Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12. Now, Moses has got the children of Israel in the wilderness. And Shay, he doesn't want this foolishness in God's church. Here's what he says. There shall not be found among you anyone, in verse 10, Deuteronomy 18, who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, that's a palm reader, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Is that clear? Moses said, you don't want those folk in your midst. Why? Because Moses understood anybody doing that is hobnobbing with demons. And the demons are fallen angels. And I know this stuff seems real. I've talked to people. Well, I went in, Pastor Wright, and looked at the lines in my hand, and it looks like I'm going to be so-and-so. And it came out just that way. Well, the devil's real. He's real. But I ain't giving him my hand. Any information about my future I want to get from heaven. Amen. From somebody who can do something about it. Let the church say amen. Amen. We got them right in this neighborhood, right down the street. Yeah. I see folks going and ducking in. I bet not seeing the... Oh, okay. So here we are. Here we are. And so Moses gives a whole list, says, don't mess with those people. That's Babylon. What about the dead? Let's just break it down. I got to go real fast now. Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6. I won't read all the texts, but I'll read the key ones. The Bible is so clear if you just read it. But for the living, what? Come on, everybody, read that text on the screen. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Next verse. Also, that's why they can't be looking down, worried about you. All that is perished. Read on. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. We don't have to worry about them coming back. Something gets to rattling. Somebody shows up that looks like somebody. Call on the name of Jesus. Don't have a conversation. See, if you went to their funeral and you saw them buried and they show up in your bedroom, don't need to ask them who they are. That's the devil. Just call on the name of Jesus. Don't ask who this is. You know what it is. You buried the fella. You saw him go on the ground. He ain't in your bedroom. You know, let's just use common sense. This is the work of Satan. Now, Pastor needs to calm down. There are sincere people who really believe that they're in communication with someone who's gone on before. I don't want to make fun of those people. I pray for them. Remember, folks, we've already read it. This type of spiritualism has infiltrated the church, and the church is full of sincere people. And I can understand the comfort that they get from the thought that their dead loved one is in glory. I can understand that comfort. But they're opening their mind and their life to the influence of the evil one. So quickly, Psalm 146:4, don't put it on the screen. Their thoughts perish. Psalm 6:5, their knowledge of God ceases. Ecclesiastes 12:7, when they die, their breath, not their soul, their breath goes back to God. Ezekiel 18:4, a soul can die. 1 Timothy 6:16, only God is immortal. There is no immortal soul. Is that clear to everybody? You can read the text. Buy the tape. Read the text. Okay. Now, Satan has done more than that. He not only attacks our thinking about the dead, Satan actually attacks our bodies. Mark 5:1-8. Mark 5:1-8. Here the story is told. It's really a disturbing story of a man who was devil-possessed. Yeah. And it was so bad, verse 3 says he was dwelling in the tombs. Nobody could hold him. He had superhuman strength. He would break chains. He was bound with shackles and chains. He had pulled them apart at superhuman strength. Nobody could tame him. He went around day and night, verse 5, crying out, cutting himself with stones. Now, gentlemen, I need those statements I put in the message to come right up now. Now, folk, hear me. If you allow yourself to become exposed and influenced by the activities of Satan, you will see some things. All right, this statement. Read the period. I need everybody reading. The period of Christ's personal ministry among men was the time of greatest activity for the forces of the kingdom of darkness. In other words, when Jesus came to the planet, the devil got upset. Why? Because this is his territory, he thinks. He is called in the book of Ephesians the prince and power of the air. He thinks he rules here. But notice he's called a prince. Come on, somebody. Ain't but one called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I had to get that in. That's not in the notes, but the Lord just hit me with it. Say it! He's just a prince. A prince operates by permission. But he has come, and he now possesses, and when Christ came, he panicked. Next statement. For ages, Satan with his evil angels have been seeking to control the bodies and the souls of men to bring upon them sin and suffering. Then he had charged the misery to God. Isn't that something? Your insurance company calls a tornado or hurricane an act of God. Your insurance company calls it that. Next, Satan, come on, summoned all his forces and every contested the work of Christ. Okay, next statement, trying to move fast. Read, at times, Satan can accomplish his sinister purposes more effectively. I'm coming at you. Those only partially under the control of demons or who not manifest symptoms more popularly associated with demon possession are often more useful. Come on, sister. He brings that brother with them broad shoulders, tight waist, pants fitting him just right. Got a smile on his face, teeth pearly white. Saying all the things you want to hear. And the statement is saying, as the Bible will also reveal, that Satan accomplishes more by showing up looking like handy dandy. It's not how a person looks. It is how a person acts. My wife's father told her many years ago, she shared it with me. My wife's father said to her, anytime any man comes up to you asking you to do anything contrary to God's word, in that moment, that man is your enemy. That was a weak amen, so I'm going to help you. Amen. If God is in it, then it's not going to destroy you. Come on, somebody. If God is a part of it, then it's not going to take you away from heaven. But when somebody comes, I don't care how nice they look, how well she shaped my brother. I don't care how much power he has. If he's talking like the devil, then he is the devil. I don't care what position they hold or how they get elected. He has one goal. The devil has one goal. Full control of this planet. End of you. Now, what some of you are doing, I'm almost done now. What some of you are doing, you're opening your minds to let the devil in. How are you doing it? By the music you listen to? By the movies you watch? Sister Wright and I have a rule. If we're watching and something comes on dealing with somebody, I mean, what is this recent infatuation with zombies? Zombie nation, zombie revival, zombie revolution, zombie. People dragging along and legs half off, nose all messed up, and people killing them, they rise. That's foolishness. But you're sitting there looking at it. calling yourself being entertained, looking at it. And the devil's crawling all up in the corpuscles of your brain. He's sitting right down in the convolutions of your frontal lobes, and he's opening you up to the possibility of believing and receiving. You got to shut that stuff down. And he dresses it up. Remember that show, My Little Genie? Silly woman walking around half clothed. You watched it. You know you watched it. Folk, don't fool with that stuff. No, I'm serious. Don't fool with that stuff. Because the devil is real. You can't give him avenues into your mind, and you say you watch it, entertainment, turn it off, and then you hear something at night. See, why are you laughing? You know I'm telling the truth. Because you've been watching that foolishness. Now you think, oh my Lord, I don't watch horror movies. I don't need that. I want to sleep at night sound, jumping up every time something cracks and so forth and so on. The devil's alive. Okay, he's around, but I got God by my side. All right. Yes, got to get this in. So, what do? Isaiah 26:3, yield your mind to God. Let's read that one. Come on, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, hey! Got to choose to serve God. You got to stay under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let's read that last statement. Then you'll put my seven things up there. Last statement. No, not that. Not ready for that yet. There's a statement before that that says everything not in harmony. Ah, this is going to hit you. Here it comes. Read it with me. Come on. Every intent, every is, in a certain sense of the word, evidence of a degree. When you're lying, demon control. When you're drinking that liquor, demon control. When you're driving to that wrong house, demon control. Don't have to be wallowing on the ground with your head twisting around in circles and foaming at the mouth. Just have a thought in your head that is not right. Cherish it, mull over it, and build it. And in that moment, you're under the control of Satan. You are a spiritist at that time. Gossip. Backbiting your friend. In that moment, Satan has your thoughts and your actions. And there's one antidote. Let this mind be in you, who is also in Christ Jesus. Let's sum it up now. Seven things. Now be ready for the list, brethren. Number one, confusion about the state of the dead. First sign of being in Babylon. Number two, even taking the existence of Satan as a myth. See, there's some people who don't believe he's real. So they don't take seriously his work. Are you listening to me? Number three, blaming God for Satan's work. Another sign of spiritualism going on. Number four, habitually exposing yourself to things where Satan... Brother, if we can just get them to get number four. You got it? This brother's got it. He's going to walk out of here protecting his mind from the influence of Satan. It's important. You're a fine-looking young man. And the devil would like to control and possess you. So any time, any books, any movies, come on, folk. We have to start protecting our minds. Your mind is who you are. And when strange stuff happens, be quick to call the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Jesus kicked those demons out of that man filled with demons, sent them to the pigs. The man was found kneeling before Jesus. He's so powerful. He's so powerful. Have you read that story? Let me tell you about it. He's so powerful that when the demoniac got in front of Jesus, he could not pray. He could not say a word. So Jesus reached inside the man's brain and read the prayer he would have prayed had he had control of his tongue and released him from Satan. Hallelujah. Don't get me started now when I'm ready to get started to finish this thing up. This thing is so exciting to me, and I want to preach another hour. I want to talk about the power of Jesus. He's able. My Bible tells me he's able. Let's finish this list. Number five. Number six. We've done that one already. Number six. Come on. Lack. Ain't ready for seven yet. No pastor's got a pause on that one. When you're busy doing the works of the kingdom, yes, Satan can't get in your head. Amen. Number seven. I'm done, Frank. God's going to bind him up. Dr. Deshay, it's time for the devil to get his. Oh, I got a sermon for you coming. But let me give you a tidbit. See, Revelation 20 paints the devil being bound up. The devil's going to be on lockdown. I wish somebody would say amen. Yes! That rascal has given me headaches, backaches. Come on, somebody talk about it. Foot aches. He's had people run their cars into me. Come on now. He's done it. He's been all kinds of mischief in God's church. But according to Revelation, the Lord's going to lock that rascal up for 1,000 years, right down here on this planet. All of us, hey, are going to be up in glory, rejoicing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will not be able to find me. I'll be up yonder. He'll be here all by himself. That's exactly what he deserves. Hey, Rosalind. I read Revelation 20 and I just grin. He's going to get his. My only protection to keep from getting it with him for the Spirit of God to control my life. What do you say, church? Do you want the Spirit of God to control your life? Mike, that's what we need. God's Spirit in you. In me, giving me that forcefulness to say no, removing fear. Don't be afraid of the devil. Respect him now. Respect him. He's supernatural, but don't fear him, because his boss is your brother, and he knows. If you call on your big brother, he's in trouble. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Are you going to sing it?
672. Spirit of the living God.
672, Spirit of the living God. It's a precious hymn. Everybody, come on.
Spirit of the living God.
Sing it sweet now.
Fall afresh on me.
You sound good. Come on.
Spirit of the living God. Fall afresh on me.
This melt you. Now you want it to mold you. Come on, sing it. And now let him take over.
Fill.
Now say it with meanings. Somebody's thinking, where I'm still giving Satan too much space. Pastor's sermon disturbed me because he read the statement that any partial submission to evil can be a sign of devil possession. So there's somebody right now disturbed about that. You want me to pray for you? We'll ask you to come forward because you don't want folks to know. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You don't want folks to know. But you know. There's an area where the devil has too much say in your life. Some habit, some friend, some secret sin. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, reach out and touch those lives. Right now, give them the assurance that you are more powerful than the devil. He's just a fallen angel. You can handle him. Encourage that person to reach out to you this week in faith, crying out your name when temptation and urge comes. It's hard to sin on your knees. Drop to your knees. Don't go out that door. You know what you're going to do. Don't pick up that phone. You know what you're going to say. Drop to your knees. Call on the name of Jesus until that urge goes away. Plead with delivery. Set somebody free from affliction right now, Lord. Set loose. Break the chains. Break the chains. Urges, tendencies, words. Desires, break me. We said it. We sung it. Break me. We said it. Then fill me. I'm praying for them now, Lord. Somebody else has been visiting this church. You've been wanting to become a part. Maybe transfer your membership. Maybe start taking Bible studies. Maybe prepare for baptism. You'd like to come forward now and make that declaration. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just move from where you are. come down front. Is there one who'll do that now? Transfer of membership, Bible study, prepare for baptism. You'll come now. Decision time, and just go on and do it. Transfer, Bible study, prayer for baptism. Thank you, Lord. Some soul may walk up to me at the door, make their declaration that way. That's all right with me. We've heard you today. We've heard you. We really heard you. Thank you for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Are you glad you came to church today?